My brothers and sisters in Christ, those passages read by the lector certainly are relevant. We've got to constantly keep in mind that the devil has more people in his seminaries than all Christian churches combined. They are preaching a false peace, which helps us to realize the importance of our work to preach the true peace of God. That other passage is not especially appropriate for you pastors and future pastors in the church, but for ambassadors for Christ, for evangelists going out two by two, and I think of them as young people devoting a year or so of their lives to an important work in the church, for which they could be trained in just a few months. I have here something that just came out telling about work that was done in Venezuela and then in New Zealand and the like to present the gospel in a form and style that's most readily accepted within the culture of the people they're trying to reach, creating indigenous programming for effective gospel outreach geared toward a specific audience. That certainly is an important work of the church. And I think we ought to have some discussions on that in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about founding schools for evangelists. But this is a school for the pastors and future pastors of our church. And you who are with us this morning to support us, to pray for us, and to help us in this important work, you'll certainly also get something from Paul's message geared especially to the gospel ministry. He writes in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I charge thee, therefore, he had just cited the fact that the word of God is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words, Jesus Christ, mean everything to the Apostle Paul, who determined not to know anything among people save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus the Savior, Christ the prophet, priest, and king, how well the Apostle Paul has presented this Christ to us. We'll never forget that everything must be in the light of Christ's glorious redemption. But he doesn't stop with that. He mentions Christ's kingdom, and you and I are involved in that kingdom work as he seeks to stretch out the boundaries in all directions, sending us out with his glorious word to bring people under his gracious kingdom of love, a kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of heaven. And then he reminds us that this Christ is the one who will judge the world. Are we sufficiently conscious of the fact that the people to whom we preach and will preach are going to be standing before the judgment seat? Are we preparing them sufficiently to look to that day without fear, knowing that though heaven and earth pass away, They will be there before their King, their Lord, their Savior, who will welcome them with the words, "Come, enter into my kingdom of glory." But he'll be judging also those who do not know the truth or who have pushed it aside. Are we sufficiently conscious as we preach of this fact that some in our church could go astray? That some in our church could fall away from Christ and have to stand before the judgment seat and hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, for he that does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What a seriousness there is then about preaching the word. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul urges. Preach the word. He doesn't say preach parts of it. The evangelists ought to do that. They've got a specific work. But pastors of congregations need to preach the whole word, the whole counsel of God. Now he says, reprove, rebuke. And some immediately want to latch on to that. Yeah, that's great. Few young men out there in the ministry sent out not too long ago for even reproving and rebuking the faculty now. Great work. Show them their error. Show them where they have to wake up and do something for Christ. Show them where they're going astray on this or that little point. Do they know anything about woman suffrage? Well, reprove. Rebuke. I hope, brothers, that none of one of you sees that as his work, but only as a measure toward his work. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what we are to do. The preaching the whole gospel of Christ for the salvation of people. Not just reproving and rebuking, but doing that always with the purpose of coming with the glorious gospel of Christ to lift them up, to send them out feeling 10 feet tall, ready to fight against Satan and the world. Not being troubled with itching ears. If you preach the gospel to them as a relevant, functional word of Christ for any and every situation in life, be it their grief and their sorrow, be it their joy in marriage, in their work, whatever it may be, be it in their friendships, see them in any and every situation of life and use that gospel of Christ in a functional way to lift them up, to encourage them in the glorious work that's theirs to do. They're not going to have itching ears and be looking around for some money to give them something to support them. They're not going to go around looking for some Holy Spirit to come down in a wonderful way and give them something that they will never get out of the beautiful passages of the Word. That's where he's active. That's where he gives them strength and power to live to Christ. They don't need the crutches of Pentecostalism and the methods of the Jehovah Witnesses. When they've got Christ, the Lord and Savior, and when you've got him in your hearts, as you go out and preach his word, they're not going to be itching ears, turning away from the truth to error. They're going to listen to you, believe in what you say, be comforted and assured for a life in Christ, a better life for them now, and a glorious life forever in heaven. Yours is a wonderful ministry. And you don't know how often I envy you with your congregations, with your loving fellow Christians. We've got love here too, but it's not like in the parish. Go out and preach Christ as Savior, as King, as judge, as your Lord, who speaks through you, and blessings upon your work. Amen.